and I want to invite you to any one of the more than 25 metro area medicine shop pharmacies to experience what pharmacy is supposed to be. At Medicine Shop, we value your time and your health. We don't just fill your prescriptions, we help you manage your health. So if you're tired of impersonal pharmacy service and long wait times, come experience the Medicine Shop pharmacy difference. Can't come to us? We'll deliver to you at your home or where you work.
Hi, I'm Jill Woodward from the Medicine Shop in Wood River, Illinois. Come visit us at 901 East Edwardsville Road across from the Hit and Run.
Come visit Jerry and the rest of my staff at the Medicine Shop Pharmacies in Troy, Missouri on Centerline Drive, in Montgomery City, Missouri on South Sturgeon, in Peavely, Missouri at Commercial Boulevard and Highway Z, and now Ellsbury Pharmacy in Ellsbury, Missouri is a member of the Medicine Shop family too.
Come visit Brian and Sue Hercules at the Medicine Shop on Woodson Road in downtown Overland.
Denny's $4 menu now offers twice as many options as before, like the Super Blackberry Pancakes, the Biscuits and Gravy Breakfast, and more. It's probably the greatest $4 value menu in the world.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the Retirement Coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Out of the green room in the studio. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing terrific, Frank. How are you?
I'm really ready to help people.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to get to them yet, but are the callers?
At least, no.
They're gone.
Yes.
Because I was going to say they'd have been on hold for 30 minutes or something. Here's what we'll do. I will give the phone numbers, and you can call now, because in a few minutes, We do one little bit of business, and then Scott Sherman is going to give you some legal advice or send you to somebody else who will give you some legal advice. Numbers, most cell phones you can get in at star KTRS, which is star 5877. Other phones, 314-969-KTRS or 888-550-KTRS. I'm going to do a quick bit of business, and then I have some... I should probably save this for the Playhouse. I'll do a little bit of it. The whole bugling thing is interesting to me in the military. And really, the only time we hear a bugle played, unless it's a marching band, or is taps.
And the only difference between a bugle and a trumpet is the trumpet has the buttons. The bugle doesn't, right? You just
all of
do
the
everything
notes
with you do, your mouth?
Yes. All the notes are made with your mouth. Which, I got to tell you something. I kind of see, like, if I go, why don't you just do that through a big horn? And you know,
I bet it's a lot harder.
It is harder. Yeah. But then I also think it's got to be incredibly difficult to take three up and down pegs and turn them into how many notes? 100? I don't know. How many notes are there?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Dan, you're a musician. How many notes are there?
On a trumpet?
88?
Is it
a piano has 88 keys, but they're
oh, I don't know.
Notes.
Oh, how many notes? There's
Or is there not a number of notes?
There's A, B, C, D.
You know, just
E-F.
Say I
don't know. There is A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And then there's also the flats and the sharps. So
how many notes are there?
Crap, I don't know.
Okay.
Dan didn't know math was going to be right.
Maybe there's no answer to that.
Oh, there is an answer. Now we have every line ringing.
Yeah, folks, you can't tie up the lines because we have to. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. We've got to get Scott Sherman in here. So if you're not calling for Scott, we'd ask you to hang up and let the pick, because we'll just have to let you go when we get you on the air. The business I need to take care of before, and I'll save the taps. I'll just tell you this much. You're not going to believe, because they have a number in the military of how many electronic trumpets they own in the U.S. military. You're not going to believe it. And it'll give you a pretty good idea that when you watch Taps perform, the guy's probably not playing the trumpet. It's electronic. He's just holding it up to his mouth and blowing his cheeks out. Because that way, it's perfect. There's never a mistake. We'll talk. It's interesting. We'll talk about it. Mark and Jason are pretty interesting, too. Mark Reed and Jason Becker. Not only do they sponsor Peon every day they help people by giving them financial advice. Changing jobs, you're retiring. I think it'd be a good idea to just have a meeting with them. It's not going to cost you anything. It's complimentary, but you have to call them. They're not going to call you. MarkandJason.com is the website, and their number's there. For more than 28 years, they have been financial advisors and successful ones with Stifel Nicolaus. Stifel Nicolaus is a, here's the legal part, member SIPC and NYSE. And if you have a financial advisor, I can't imagine you can give me even one reason why it wouldn't be a good idea to get a second opinion. Unless your financial advisor is your brother, okay? And you know that getting another opinion, you don't even want to know if there's something better because you have to give him your, okay, you're excluded. Everybody else, can't hurt. Second opinion, MarkandJason.com. Now, Maestro.
If you would please.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law,
June Carter part.
Who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law? Well, you see, I didn't really mean you any harm.
All right, I gave the numbers.
But I simply couldn't make it on the farm.
Get out of the bugle.
When the land
oh, wow, are these people ready for stuff?
You got to do with what
I believe so.
Okay, if we have to, we'll give the numbers again. I see the calls are stacking up here. Let's start with Christopher. Christopher, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Oh, hello. How are you? I'm AM and PM as always.
Thank you.
I live in an HOA of homes, and there's discussion about selling off some of the common ground. So if you would talk to the ownership of the common ground when you live within an HOA, and who has legal right, if any, to sell that property?
That's a great question.
It is. I would say that the Homeowners Association, as an entity, would probably, in its bylaws or its articles, have somewhere about their authority to purchase real estate in that, whether it's common ground or anything else. Who is the title owner of the common ground? I don't know. I mean, it's common ground, but is it something that the Homeowners Association has an interest in already?
It's a great question. I don't think I've ever heard anybody ask.
It's such a good question that it probably has an answer that it goes beyond my expertise.
So, Scott, can I suggest this?
Yeah.
Christopher, here's my suggestion. If in the bylaws or whatever you call them, if it doesn't state clearly in there that they have the right to control, sell, comp, whatever, if it doesn't say that and they do it, I would get every resident together to sue the crap out of these people because you bought your property based on that setting.
Right.
And without it, you're not getting what you paid for.
Well, Frank, you and I, as always, agree. You know, we all bought into it exactly the way it is. So, you know, I think they're degrading the neighborhood by selling off the common ground.
But most people, include myself, we don't read. That stuff is so complicated, we don't read it. And then there somewhere might be a statement that says we reserve the right to totally, fully control the common ground, even reserve the right to sell that property, should we. If it says that and you signed off on it, you're done, right?
But Scott? Wouldn't all the homeowners have to get together and vote and have a majority vote on
it? No, it wouldn't matter. If they all signed an agreement when they moved in, but they didn't know that buried in there in fine print was this, we can sell the kids' park or the parking lot if we want to. If they put that in there,
yeah,
it doesn't matter how many of you get together.
However, most HOAs,
there's always a however in life.
This is true.
Yeah.
But when you close on a property, rarely, if ever, does the new buyer sign anything with an HOA?
Yeah.
That right. Can be and can't be true. Let me give you something that's not a wrinkle that clouds it up. I'm thinking more about the titling, more about the ownership of that, quote, common ground than some common easement of use. I don't know that they can go in as the Homeowners Association and sell something that belongs to and is owned by another person or group of people. So common ground has to be owned by somebody. Some entity owns it. Either there's a bunch of owners.
Homeowners usually own it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then they create a park or something or some sort of walkway. It's more of an easement than ownership. So if they're going to buy this, there has to be something in the articles or in the bylaws that either gives them the authority to do it, or there has to be an indenture somewhere that then would be, quote, run with the land. So I don't know who owns this tract of land. Is it the developer? Is it the group of individual owners?
I don't think Christopher knows either, do you?
And that's really, and you know, it's very tempting, and I think what I would like to do is pile on this homeowners association, because I hate homeowners associations.
We got to cut this short. Here's what I do. I go to the homeowners association office and say, and I would just ask, who owns the common ground? Simple question.
And show me in the bylaws where you have the right to do it.
Yeah, that's all. Who owns it? And I'd like to see that in writing, the proof. Show me.
And then the backup to a very good real estate attorney in that community that is familiar with these types of common ground associations. As your point person, because I'm sure that person in their firm would love to represent 10 or 15 or 20 owners where an association is trying to buy their land without the right to do it.
Well, we're not buying. They want to sell the common ground.
To me, this is like if you're in a gated community, all right, and then they sell the gates. They go, well, they're mechanically just paying the butt maintenance, and I would be. I think every resident would go insane. That's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, Frank's right. Go there and tell them, show me where you have the right to do this, and don't take their word for it, whether they show you or not, and then go to a real estate attorney before they do it.
All right, Christopher?
I'm good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. Henry's next. Henry, thank you for waiting. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, guys. I had a quick, it's not a problem exactly, but a question. I was always curious, in Missouri, when the police pull you over for one of these, like, random DWI stops, they start asking you to, you know, play in 20 questions with you. How much of that do you really have to answer, and how much of that can you just say, you know, I'm not going to answer that?
Frank,
have you been watching YouTube?
That's one of the reasons why I asked, because a lot of those guys are real bad about it, but I didn't know what the law in Missouri was, because it varies by state, I'm sure.
I've gotten stuck a couple of nights on YouTube till 2 o'clock in the morning, watching all these people, these a-holes, who deliberately taunt and test the police, and they have their cameras going, and they pull up, and they crack the window 1 inch, they won't crack it anymore, they hold the license up to the window, they won't, you know. They're just being jerks, and they're pushing the limits. And I know exactly what he's talking about when they say, you know, can I see your identification? They say, why? Do you have a reason for pulling me over? Am I being detained? Yeah, it's interesting. Scott, do you know legally what you have to tell them? I think if you really want to be that guy, you don't have to say anything.
Right. No, you don't. With the DWI checkpoints or safety checkpoints, there has to be a plan, and there has to be randomness. Now, this has been sort of, you know, that's as vague as it sounds. But let's say, for the sake of saying it, that the actual stop is a legal checkpoint. Let's just say that, because that's a whole different issue on whether or not it's a legal checkpoint. Okay, let's say it's a legal stop. Once the stop, whether it's for a checkpoint or for another alleged violation like speeding or something, but let's take the checkpoint. They have reasonable suspicion to detain you for a brief amount of time. That's a Rodriguez case. It's a Supreme Court case.
Well, there's no suspicion, but they're checkpointing everybody.
Well, they can't checkpoint everybody.
They're randomly picking people.
That is the way in which those checkpoints have to be legal. They can't just have a checkpoint and just everybody is stopped.
Okay.
Because that's not the way that they're allowed. So let's say it meets all the criteria for a legal checkpoint. Then they can ask you, because you're in your car and there's a thing called implied consent, to ask you for your identification and your insurance. The reason that they're sticking their head in your car is to see if they smell booze on you, because it's a DWI.
Do you have to give them your insurance and license?
Well, if you don't, they have the right to then detain you for a reasonable amount of time and further investigate whether or not the reason for you to not do that, when you consented to certain things by having a driver's license, was suspicious. You can't just drive off. I'm not telling you goodbye.
I got a feeling Henry's interested in the... Is this kind of a DWI issue? How much do you have to cooperate if they suspect you had something to drink?
Yeah, if you don't have to tell... You don't have to say, yeah, you know, I had 4 drinks and all of the rest.
They usually ask you, have you had anything to drink tonight?
I think what Scott says is you don't have to tell them. You could say... I don't have to tell you that.
But you can't use the Fifth Amendment to say, I'm not doing it under my rights. That you're not arrested. You're not in custody yet. You're just being detained. So, you know, and I'm a civil liberties guy. So until you get to the probable cause to make arrest, and the Fifth Amendment doesn't apply. So you can't just claim the Fifth Amendment at the initial instance, because being behind the wheel of a car comes with it certain things that you have impliedly consented to, like at being asked to do a field sobriety test if they have reasonable suspicion that you've been drinking, or to ask you for your driver's license or your insurance. Let's say, I'm not going to show it to you. Okay, well, now we're going to write you a ticket for failure to display your insurance.
The thing and they don't have to cooperate with is the cop says, where are you headed? You do not have to tell them where you're going. Where have you been? You don't have to tell them.
That is right. That is not something you consented to. By getting behind the wheel of a car, you do not consent to say, and, when was the last time you made out with your wife? You know, that's not the stuff. It's probably never, right? Because you're married. But that's not the stuff you consent to. But your rights under the Fifth Amendment, and I'm a very strong proponent of this, do not get put into place until you are in custody. And it's only about things that are testimonial. So there are times when somebody will ask a question, you know.
In fact, when they arrest you is when they say you have the right to remain silent.
Yeah, and there are some Supreme Court decisions that I disagree with. If you're in handcuffs and you're behind and you're in the back of a patrol car, you're in custody. Because if you decide, you know what, I'm leaving, they're going to shoot you. So the test is if you feel, a reasonable person would feel, that you are free to go. But in the case of driving a vehicle, all states have implied consent laws, and there are certain things that you have already consented to by taking an operator's license and getting behind the wheel. That is not Fifth Amendment stuff. Do they start saying, well, where you've been drinking and where you've been going and how much? You don't have to answer those questions, but there are questions you do have to answer, or you will then go to the next level, which is, okay, now you're under suspicion for all kinds of stuff.
So then they ask you to pull over, and then they do the field sobriety test.
And then
test
they look in your car, and they put you, and they do ask you to do a field sobriety test. That's
so you have to prove to them that you have the right to drive.
Well, no. If they say driver's license
what
and registration,
is to prove to them that he's capable of driving, he's not impaired. You do have to do that. That's all they want to know.
And if you give them the license and insurance information, there you go. And they say, where have you been? Now you don't have to answer that question because that's not part of the implied consent. But the trick becomes this. Once you start refusing to tell them stuff, they're going to get suspicious and probably ask you to do a field sobriety test. And you can refuse that. And then they will try to take your driver's license. And you can fight that by saying that the stop was illegal or that the field sobriety test was not random. So do you have, quote, the right to, it's like Ron White. The right or the ability. You know, if you are really in a legal DWI stop and they ask you how you're doing tonight, or they ask you for your license, or they ask you for your insurance, and you say, F you, I'm not showing you, you're getting charged with DWI. Now, you might not be drunk, but you're being stupid. The rest of the questions...
DWS.
Yes, the rest of the questions, and then putting their head inside your compartment of your car to sniff around, that has all been upheld under several exceptions to the Fourth Amendment on the search and seizure stuff, the Carroll stop.
But they do not have the right to get in your glove box, your trunk, your console, unless
not,
you say...
Not until it rises to the level of PC or probable cause that more than just some traffic offense is underway. I'll give you the perfect example. They pulled some dude over on suspicion that he was weaving. They really thought that he was a drug courier. They wrote him a ticket for weaving. Then they delayed him for a half an hour, 40 minutes, until they could bring the drug sniff dogs in. They found drugs in the car. That case was thrown out by the United States Supreme Court because while the detention was reasonable and the stop was legal, they did it too long and they had no evidence to keep him for longer than writing him the ticket.
Wow.
That's the case.
This
That's Rodriguez.
Why you need a good lawyer.
And why you have to know where the line is. If you've been drinking, and I'm not giving you legal advice, if you've been drinking, the answer, I've had one beer, is not a lie. It might not be the truth, but it's not a lie.
Well, you did have one beer.
That's
you
right.
Tell them about the other four.
That's right. And at that point, maybe you shut her down. And oh, by the way, every person suspected in Missouri, Illinois too, of a driving under the influence has the right to call a lawyer during that stop, and they give you 20 minutes to do that, but you have to invoke it. So if you don't know, you better get a lawyer's number in your cell phone.
We got to run. Henry, does that help you?
It does. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I want to take just 1 second here before we take the next call. Just a piece of advice. To you knuckleheads like the people I see on YouTube who say to the cops, F you, they say, can I ask you where you're headed? None of your business. I know my constitutional right. Much of that you can do. But why would you do that? Because here's what's going to happen to you. They'll remember you. And they'll remember your license plate, and they'll pass it along to the other officers. And the first chance they get where you do break the law, they're not going to be really. They're not going to be nice to you.
And it's just it could be a turn signal. It could be.
They'll find something because don't think they don't communicate with each other. Hey, heads up, this guy's an a-hole, and keep an eye on him. They'll get you. So it just doesn't pay. It doesn't pay to do that. Legally, I don't have to tell you where I live. I've seen YouTube videos where they say, are you a U.S. citizen? None of your business. There's no way to talk to a police officer.
Well, one night after hockey, they had a sobriety checkpoint when I was on my way home. And I rolled down my window, and he said, oh, we're doing a sobriety checkpoint. And I said, I haven't had anything to drink. He goes, where were you? And I said, I was playing hockey. I had my hockey stuff in the car. I said, I'm heading home now. And he goes, okay, go ahead. He didn't even ask for my license or anything.
Why did you say I haven't had anything to drink? I would never have said that. He didn't ask you, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, you left.
He asked me. Oh, he asked me if I had anything to drink. He goes, did you have anything to drink?
And I have anything to drink?
Yeah. No, I didn't. I was playing hockey.
But that's all. You just because you can do something legally doesn't mean.
Yeah, the place to be arguing for civil liberties is not
with
at a checkpoint with a police officer with a flashlight on you.
Yeah, show some respect, okay? I think they show us respect until we don't deserve it, most of them. So let's do the same.
Yeah, they're not going to frame you by pulling you out of the car and pouring alcohol down your throat. They want to go home to their families, and sometimes people do something really stupid and they get caught. Now, there are legal and constitutional ways to make the other side prove beyond a reasonable doubt and give you due process. Being a Weisenheimer to some state trooper or some cop, A, doesn't help you, and B, it doesn't help the whole relationship between the police and the public. And that is part of the biggest problem we have in the country, is that we are very at odds with one another, and that's part of the problem.
You know, you can legally say to a police officer who's pulled you over, go F yourself. And to me, that ought not to be allowed. Hey, honestly, if I were a cop and somebody told me to F off or something, I'd have to count to 1,000 before, and not rip the guy's head off. I wish that would be an offense, a chargeable offense. It should be, but it's not.
Yeah,
I mean, too much freedom.
I can legally tell the guy that brings me a pizza to go F himself, too. How does that help me get a pizza to
He's
my house?
He's going to urinate on.
That's right. Yeah. Wait until next pizza.
When you treat the cops like that, they're not going to urinate on your pizza. But they have their own way of doing the equivalent in another fashion. In other words, they will be watching for the very first time you have a light out on your car or you miss a turn and you go through the yellow light. You're flagged as an a-hole. So don't do that.
They deserve better.
Yeah, there you go. Just hang on. We will get back and we're going to have a nice chunk of time to talk to everybody to the top of the hour here. I have to take a moment, then we'll take a little break. We'll come back, and the rest of the hour is yours with Scott Sherman. Amini's, we mention every day, and it's working, I think, because when we started, the parking lot of Amini's had it's a big parking lot, had too many empty spaces. I don't think it'll ever be completely full, because I think the parking lot's actually too big for the building. It's massive, but I see more cars now. And maybe another reason we got to get the AM and the PM stickers, bumper stickers back on, is then we'd see all those cars at Amini's with stickers, and we could make them available at any of the advertisers. That'd be a great idea. We'll work on that. Maybe in the spring. For now, I just like to assume that a lot of the cars in the Amini's parking lot are AM and the PM. And if somebody said, well, picture the average visitor to Amini's, I couldn't, because they could be 5 years old or 105 years old. Because they have something for everybody of every age. You could be a highbrow person and an expert on hand-knotted rugs and how many knots per inch. You'll love this place. You could be like me. You don't know one thing about rugs. I love the place. I'm impressed with the rug selection, how beautiful they are, and how many they have. I don't know anything about them. I don't know anything really about lighting. I know what I like. I know a little bit about pool tables, that you want slate, and that's all they sell is slate. They wouldn't sell a non-slate pool table. That's what you sell when you want to sell crap and make a lot of money. Aminis, A-M-I-N-I-S. Take everybody. Take the whole family. Take the neighbors. They'll love it. Free play, pinball machines, arcade games. Can't beat that. Jukeboxes, pool tables, shuffleboard, beautiful lighting, beautiful furniture, and the greatest patio furniture made in the world. A-M-I-N-I-S, aminis.com.
Meet me.
All right, let's get a check on traffic. Here's Tim Weiland.
Couple of problems out there. Eastbound Highway 70 near Jennings Station Road. Two left lanes are blocked due to a crash, and you're jammed back a little bit east of Air Flight. Also, westbound 70 drivers slowing in the usual spots from Union out through Jennings Station Road. You have an accident on southbound 270 before 44. The three left lanes are blocked, and you're jammed back north of Olive. Southbound 170 slows south of Page through Highway 40. Westbound 40 now drivers slowing from Tower Grove all the way out to McCausland. Eastbound Highway 40 drivers heavy from Clayton Warson to Big Bend, and then again from Grand to the Poplar Street Bridge. This traffic report brought to you by Account Temps, because unplanned absences happen even when payroll is due. Call Account Temps. They provide accounting and finance professionals on a temporary basis and fast. Visit AccountTemps.com. Account Temps, a Robert Half company. I'm Tim Weiland from the KTRS Traffic Center.
Tomorrow, Donald Trump will be sworn in as the 45th President of the United States. From the swearing-in ceremonies to the inaugural address, you'll hear it all live, beginning at 10:30 a.m. on the Big 550 KTRS. Depend on it.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did American men get so soft? Today's average red-blooded American man has less testosterone than his father, and his father has less testosterone than his father. Before we turn into a country of powder puffs, Force Factor is launching the Man Up America event. We want to send every man in America a complimentary bottle of the breakout supplement taking GNC by storm. Test X180 Ignite, loaded with free testosterone-boosting manliness. Get your complimentary bottle by texting MAN to 321-321. Test X180 Ignite raises levels of free testosterone in your body to help build lean muscle during workouts. Plus, it helps incinerate fat, fuel explosive sexual desire, and improve performance. Now you can continue to feel like the real men that made this country great. Do yourself a favor. Do America a favor. Text MAN to 321-321 for your complimentary bottle. That's a complimentary bottle by texting MAN to 321-321.
Want to know one simple thing you can do to flatten your belly? Hi, I'm Dr. Timothy Goodwin. If you've tried diet after diet and still have a big belly, you might not be fat. You might just be bloated, which means you might just need to do one simple thing. Call the following number for a free trial of Nubiotics. 1-800-900-9460. Nubiotics is scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. That's why it works. As a doctor, I recommend it. And as I tell my patients, if your belly flattening results are too dramatic, just reduce use to every other day. If you want to flatten your belly, there is one simple thing you can do. Call now for a free trial of Nubiotics while they're still giving them away for free. 1-800-900-9460. Hurry, call now for details. 1-800-900-9460. If lines are busy, try again. 1-800-900-9460.
Got more than $5,000 in credit card debt? If you haven't called Credit Associates yet to find out for free how much of it could be forgiven, you've got one more chance right now. Call now for free information. 1-800-600-1196. The big credit card companies don't want you to know this, but if you've got more than $5,000 in credit card debt that you can't afford, you do not have to pay it all back. You have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. And right now, you can find out for free just how little that is. For free information, call 1-800-600-1196. Our mission is to save everyday Americans from paying off way more of their debt than they have to. That's why we're giving this information away for free. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. But hurry, while this free opportunity lasts. For free information and to find out how much of your debt could be forgiven, call 1-800-600-1196. That's 1-800-600-1196.
Tired of stale old potato chips in the vending machine? How about fresh fruit? How about a nice Cobb salad or a nice fresh chicken wrap? It's possible thanks to a St. Louis company called Dynamic Vending. They have a state-of-the-art kitchen where they will cook the meals every single day. They will deliver them to your office, and then you have the option of working through lunch with great, healthy food options. You don't believe me? You need to find out about Dynamic Vending. They've been in business here in St. Louis for over 25 years. They're called micro markets, and what they're able to do is they're able to bring you fresh food. They have self-checkout payment kiosks. How would you like Starbucks in your office for coffee options? Yes, Dynamic Vending can do that as well. It is the most amazing company, and I'm thrilled to be their spokesman. DynamicVending.com, DynamicVending.com, or 314-895-1685. Revolutionize lunch in your office. DynamicVending.com.
This is Larry Connors, and I think I drove by your house the other day. It looks great, but I noticed you might have some shingles missing and maybe some other roof damage. Take a moment to call my friend John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Take care of it before everyone else starts calling, before the thunderstorms start pounding us. That way, next time I drive by, I won't have to worry. I'll know your home is protected. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Christine, recruiter for the VA healthcare system. We are seeking full-time physicians in many disciplines. Successful applicants will provide high-quality, effective care directly to our nation's veterans. The VA is the largest and most advanced healthcare system in the nation. The VA offers competitive benefits, including malpractice insurance, pension, vacation, holidays, and more. Be a part of this winning team and honor our veterans. Call me at 314-488-8252. That's 314-488-8252. The VA healthcare system. Healthcare for heroes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bob Hardcastle, asking you to listen to my Money Talk radio program every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on KTRS 550.
Are we back?
We're up.
Wow. Did you give me 10 seconds?
I did.
Yeah, I heard it.
I'm losing it.
10 right. seconds.
I'm losing it. These headphones, if people could see these headphones, they should be in the, like a museum, some antiques museum or something. We're back, and thank you all who have been holding here. Is Tom next?
Yes, Tom is next.
Tom, say hi to Scott Sherman, and thank you for holding.
Scott, AM and PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah! Hey, a couple months ago, I was involved in a motorcycle accident, and I was run off the road by somebody driving that obviously didn't see me. So I chose, rather than to hit the car, to run off the road. I figured I'd probably lose if I hit the car. And I'm wondering how to go about, or if it's possible to involve my uninsured motorist in my medical bills.
It's the right question on both counts. That's called a phantom driver, and whether you are on a motorcycle or another vehicle, the phantom driver left, that triggers your uninsured motorist coverage if you have it. And for people that don't, I recommend you get it. And for people that don't know, I recommend you look into it and get as much of it as you can.
Let me ask you a question, Scott. How do you prove there was another driver?
Well, you'd be subject under oath to a question by your insurance company, subject to perjury.
But that's it, that you really don't have any proof.
That would be your proof. Hey, I was driving down the road, this phantom car, and give it some sort of description. I swear under a punishment of perjury and insurance fraud and the prison system that this is what happened the way it happened. I got a partial plate. I got no plate. I got a description of it, and that's what happened. That's how you do it. That's your proof. Just as somebody, you know, would have proof of getting hit in the head with a bag of flour that falls out of a building, and they didn't identify because they were knocked unconscious. I woke up, and there was a bag of flour laying next to me, and my head split open. I guess
that's not something you do to yourself and try to cover up. That's not a mistake you made. They can tell if a bag of flour dropped on you. My point is this, and play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
No. Like that Tom here, and Tom, I'm not saying this is at all what you did. I'm trying to figure out how you can convince them it's true, because you really can't prove it. Just because you swear under oath, well, that was a car, I swerved to miss it, that's why I went down, not because I fell asleep, that's why I went down. And they can't prove it. You're swearing it's true, because if they give you a lie detector test, that's not admissible. So there really ever is no definitive proof there was a car. Right?
That's right. It's also why it's the most difficult type of uninsured motorist case to prove, because there's no other thing that you can point to.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the worst case for Tom is his insurance company says, well, I just said, well, you have to prove there's a car. What car?
Unless there was a camera at the
middle of the highway.
How long ago, I know I was taking notes, MVA ran off the road. How long ago did this incident happen?
About 6 weeks ago.
6 weeks ago. Did you report it to your insurance company in the last 6 weeks? You did. Within how much time?
Immediately.
So that's good evidence that at least Tom is moving in the direction of showing that. Have they ever disputed the fact that a phantom car forced you off the road?
No, they covered the claim on my motorcycle.
So they paid on the motorcycle and you're comprehensive. You absolutely are probably not going to get questioned about the the uninsured motorist, or your med pay.
Did you call the police?
Yes.
You made a police report, again, subject under oath.
That's smart.
All of those things are very good pieces of evidence that happened. Are there any witnesses that came to you and said they either saw a car or they saw what happened, anything like that?
No, there's not.
Okay, here's my question. We're playing insurance guy again. My other question is, what's your history? What is your history of claims and filing claims and having things like this happen? Do you have a past, or is this your first real claim?
This is probably the first claim in 5 years.
Okay, because Scott will know why I wanted to know that. If you're one of these people that's just like a pathological claims guy, I mean, and they go, man, you made 15 claims in the last 5 years. You shouldn't even be driving. But that's not the case. So I think he's probably...
He's in good shape here as far as going forward with it. Tom, what are your injuries? Broken bones? Are you hospitalized? How bad was this?
I have 2 broken ankles.
Tom, I'm going to give you my email address.
You know the email
if you want, only if you want it, Tom. What I'm telling you is, regardless of who you contact about this, they're going to like this case, both in the med pay part that you mentioned, your medical, and also in your or your uninsured motorist case. How many vehicles do you have with that company?
2, including the house.
Has anybody told you the word stacking before? Have you heard that?
No.
The best thing about besides the fact that it covers you for instances like this, is you get a built-in coupon. You can stack, meaning you can take the number of vehicles and multiply it by your limits and use it for So let's say you had $50,000 in coverage for this motorcycle. You don't have to say. You got 2 vehicles, even though the other one wasn't involved. 50 times 2 is 100. You got $100,000 in coverage, and so on, and et cetera. So, very good case. Regardless of who you use, I would advise you to use a lawyer on it. You can do it yourself. But definitely, if you're saying yes or no, should I pursue and MedPay, which is another great coverage people should have a lot of, I'd say yes.
Okay. One real quick follow-up question. For some reason, since I've been out of the hospital and staring at the ceiling for quite a while, I've gotten 2 advertisements from lawyers that know everything about my accident, and I don't understand how they know that.
Man, that's a great question. I hate this. I consider that solicitation.
They know it because it's a police report.
The Missouri Supreme Court really needs to change their ethics rules, and I'm a First Amendment guy. I mean, obviously, I'm on the radio. I love the First Amendment. I love free speech. I love advertising. You know, without advertisers, you know, don't have shows. But this kind of targeting of people that don't know these lawyers, I think it's sleazy, and I think it should be struck down. But they got you because of the police report. It's like I think Frank said that.
Yeah, and all you have to do is ignore it.
Yeah, it's nothing different than a direct mail solicitation for your mortgage. If you get something in the mail, we can refinance your house. Throw it in the same trash barrel that goes in. And understand, take the names down of those lawyers. That is the sleaziest and most underhanded way to get people to think that they have to contact them. And I think it's solicitation. The Missouri Supreme Court disagrees with me, but I hate that stuff. I think it's really disgusting.
Tom,
TV, radio stuff, that's one thing.
We got to run. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Gary, thank you for holding. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hello. Yes, I am in the PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. And I got a question for Scott. I had a medical issue back in October of 2015. And the place that was for an x-ray, and they submitted the bill to my insurance company, and I never heard nothing from nobody, anything else or anything about it. And here this week on Monday, I received the bill from the x-ray place for this x-ray like a year and 3 months later, and never have heard nothing from them all along.
How much is the bill?
It's like $115.
That's pretty cheap for an x-ray.
Yeah.
Are you sure that's not what you owe? Because that sounds you're part of the bill.
Well, but the thing of it is, I went back and we went back through our medical insurance papers, and we got a paper, EBO, explanation of benefits, and it's dated 1/15/2016, and it says it goes toward my deductible. It's the responsibility of the patient.
Ah, you mentioned a key thing.
I think you got a bill.
Was that the original charge, or is this a radiology reading place?
It was the original charge. Okay. It was just like a chest x-ray or something at a x-ray place that's right next to a doctor's office.
Have you been on the phone with your insurance company, health insurance?
Yes, I have.
What have they told you? That your patient bucket, or are they going to help you out?
No, they told me that basically, it's my responsibility, but they all said, too, that's an awful long time to get a bill for.
But here's the deal. What is your deductible? How much is your deductible?
Well, it's like a $2,000 or whatever. Initial, a $2,000 deductible.
Could it be that this wasn't billed till after the first of the year? That it's part of the deductible, the initial deductible for the year?
Well, see, like I said, it was done in 2015, and the EBO is January of 2016. But here in January of 2017, I first get a bill from the outfit. And I'm just thinking,
Gary, shouldn't
they have to bill a lot faster than that?
Gary, on the EOB, I think they should. But on the EOB, did it say date of service in 2015?
Yes.
Did you reach your deductible in 2015?
No.
Okay. Here's what I would say to resolve it. Call this place on the phone and say, hey, look, what would the insurance company pay you for this thing? And would you take less? Because if you sue me for $150, you're never going to get that. What have they said?
Okay, well, and I actually was talking to the billing outfit,
yeah.
And they go, if you want to take care of this tonight, we'll help you out. We'll take 10% off.
10%? See how 50% works. And keep going until you get it.
Well, we tried that, but they wouldn't bite on that.
I don't want to see your credit hurt over something that, in the end, you probably don't have much of a defense on. Lacking in their ability to charge? Yes. Does that affect people that are on Medicare or Medicaid? Yes, it does. You got to bill it within a certain amount of time. But if you got an EOB a couple of months after that, that might not be too late for it to bounce back.
Right.
The warning is, for people to get these, this is not a bill stuff, that doesn't mean this is throw it in the trash can. Throw the lawyer advertisements in the trash can, open the EOBs and read them, and if you don't understand them, make those rotten insurance companies explain them to you.
That's a good way to end it. Make them explain.
Well, what I'm saying, though, the EOB actually showed up a year ago.
I thought you said it showed up in January of 16.
Right.
That's 3 months.
No. January of 16.
That's 16. That's a year.
A year ago.
Yeah, but October of 2015.
We don't look. We gotta go. We don't have a calculator. If we had a calculator, we'd be there. Good luck.
Negotiate it down, Gary.
I hope that helped you. Good luck. Okay. Thank you, Gary. Okay. And we gotta go. Music, please. My goodness, look how the time has gone. Scott, give them that email address again.
Sure. LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
If you cannot write that down because you're in the car, you can't remember it, go to a Facebook.com slash AM and the PM or FrankOpinion.com and go to sponsors, and it's right there at the top. He's not a sponsor, but hey, I figure that's a good place to put it. Scott Sherman, everybody.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, guys.
Helping people. That's what he's put on the earth for. Here's Dan to introduce Tim to do traffic.
Yes, that's right. All right, Tim, give us some traffic, Tim Weiland.
All right, there's a new accident on southbound 270, just a little bit past Highway 370. It looks like either the right or possibly the two right lanes are blocked and traffic backing up a little bit north of Highway 370. Still working with the accident eastbound 70 at Jennings Station. The left lane is blocked. You're backed up all the way past the airport. And also still working with the crash on southbound 270 before 44. A couple left lanes there. And this traffic report is brought to you by AccountTemps. Do you need temporary accounting and finance expertise? Call AccountTemps. They can provide accounting and finance professionals when and where you need them. Visit AccountTemps.com to learn more. AccountTemps, a Robert Half company. I'm Tim Weiland from the KTRS Traffic Center.
I'm AM in the PM, and you're listening to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon with Frank Opinion and the gang weekdays from 3 to 6. McGraw Millhaven here. Don't forget to tune in to my Average Morning Show in the morning right here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi, this is John Chay, Mr. Fix-It, with some good news for our listeners. How many of you listening have an old TV or bulky entertainment center taking up valuable space in your home? Well, then you need to call Pitch-It at 314-932-1100 and take advantage of their excellent service, as many of our listeners have. Pitch-It provides a residential commercial junk removal service with very affordable rates. Their friendly staff at Pitch-It will arrive at your location, remove your unwanted items, and you don't even have to lift a finger. So remove the item from your basement, your attic, anywhere they're located, and then clean up after themselves. Pitch-It will provide free estimates. They'll visit your location on your schedule, not theirs, and provide you with a quote on the spot. Pitch-It is an eco-friendly recycling most items within reason, and of course they are fully insured. So give them a call at 314-932-1100. That's 314-932-1100. Or visit their website at pitchitandforgetit.com. That's pitchitandforgetit.com. Senior discount supply.
Enjoy cannoli, Italian cookies, coffee, and starting this weekend, Clementine's famous gelato at Pacioni Pastry. They're open late in the loop and for weekend brunch and daily lunch.
The Big 550.
KTRS, St. Louis.
From ABC.